prayers. I may pray very simply, but I am instructed to bless you. That's a fundamental task of those who would act as the priest before God. So I'm going to read it to you. The Lord bless you and keep you, verse 24. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Now turn to Deuteronomy and particularly to chapter 28. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb, your children will be blessed. The crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. And the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you, and they will come at you from one direction, but they will have to flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything that you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. So much, let me just run down now to verse 12. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom. So do not turn aside from any of his commands I give you today, to the right or to the left. Following no other gods, just serving him. That's the prophetic blessing. The blessing that needs to rest on your marriage. The blessing that needs to rest on your family. The blessing that needs to rest on your home. On our church. On your workplace. On every relationship. You have the power to speak the blessing. Here is Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and of death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If I speak angry to you, you will speak angrily back to me. If I speak kindly to you, then the fruit will come back to me of kindness. If I speak bitterness, then the fruit that comes back to me is bitterness. But if I speak love and grace and favor, then that's exactly what will come back. You have the power with your tongue to speak life and death. Only humans have the power of speech. And there is a miracle, or there's a tragedy in your mouth and in mine. What you say, we've just been listening to, the pen is mightier than the sword. Words can destroy more than this rampant knife scenario that's going on in our society, more than the gun. Remember Matthew 19, when they brought young children to Jesus, they wanted them to be blessed, and the disciples wanted to speak words that would drive them away. And Jesus said, no. And he spoke words of blessing. He took them up in his arms and he blessed them. And I've just read for you this 28th chapter. You read it again and again. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. You will be blessed wherever you go and whatever you do. Do you remember how we used to build, and still do probably if you take the grandchildren, sandcastles on the sand? This is like the surging blessing that comes from God, like the waves that come up onto the shoreline. It overtakes you like that tidal wave, knocking over your sandcastles on the shore. And we build sandcastles in our lives, and the blessing of God can knock them over. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And that's why I want to put the blessing of Aaron upon you week in and week out. I don't want you to walk out of those doors without being blessed. Getting the blessing was all important to the people of God. When the patriarchs faced death, they would always take the opportunity to pronounce benefits, blessings upon their children. Important people bless those with less power or influence than themselves. Leaders blessed people, especially when they were about to leave them. You want to see that in action? Read Deuteronomy 31. Moses is about to go. Go on into the book of Joshua as he assembles everybody to Shechem in Joshua 23. The disciples will never, ever forget the moment when their master Jesus bade them farewell. One minute he is talking to them personally, and the next he is rising up into the sky. And what did he do? Well, Luke 29:50 says he blessed them. Peter talked to the crowd that are bemused with the healing of the crippled man at the beautiful gate of the temple right there. And he preaches fervently. Yet he concludes with this message, with this simple statement. Do you know why God sent Jesus? I've told you all about him, but he sent Jesus to bless you. What was it that Jacob wanted more than anything else? Just the blessing. He schemes, he connives, he cheats, he defrauds even his own father just to get the blessing. There is an amazing sequel when Jacob has that face-to-face encounter with God by the brook Jabbok. That all-night wrestling with God that left him with a permanent limp from then on, but a changed life, a changed name, a new name and a new heart. No longer are you going to be called Jacob, but Israel, Prince with God. And the story ends with Jacob, the man who stole the blessing, will be eager to give a blessing to Esau. Please take my gift, because God has dealt graciously. He's blessed me. Genesis 38. Blessed of God. So he has this desire to bless others. And I took with you last Sunday how to be a better person, a bigger person, someone who would be bolder. And it was Jabez's prayer. God, bless me. Born in those questionable, those painful circumstances, yet he calls out, bless me, enlarge my territory, let your hand be with me and keep me from harm. I wonder, did Jabez ever know that that prayer was given to Aaron? You know, on D-Day the 6th, 1943, we did something here from the United Kingdom, from Great Britain. The Allied forces set out to bring the war in Europe to its conclusion. It was called Operation Overlord. If you've been following some of the stuff that's been shown on television, It was the largest assembly of military personnel and resources in the history of the war, far more than what the Germans did at the Battle of the Bulge. And the historians have recorded that that combination of soldiers and sailors and airmen and the necessary supporting services amounted to 2.8 million people here in England. Operation Overlord. When you read the book of Numbers, you are introduced to Moses, who is about to install, instigate, set in motion, launch his own Operation Overlord. The greatest desire in his heart was that the Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, would be Lord over all this great enterprise of the journey going into the promised land. With more than a couple of million former slaves who are now actually refugees, they're about to move on their way to claim the promised land. It would be no easy task. There would be outbursts of grumbling and negative responses. So how do you get a project like that under its way? Well, four things were necessary. They had to celebrate the Passover. They had to number the soldiers. They had to organize the tribes in a marching way. And they had to sign the priestly duties. And that's where that next incident comes in, where the blessing comes in. Because God wants the people to be blessed in a right relationship with himself, separated to him and then blessed by him. So the priests were given this incredible privilege, this ministry to carry out. This is how you are to bless the Israelites. And you start, the Lord bless you. Now let me make a point here. It was a blessing for God's people and only for them. It was not for all and sundry. The joys, the exciting prospects that the blessing brings are for those who are in a covenant relationship with God himself. Spurgeon tells an amazing story of visiting an elderly woman in the almshouse. And his attention is drawn to a framed document on the wall of her room. He asks about it. She cared for an aged gentleman for a long time. And just before he died, he wrote out a note of appreciation of her services. Spurgeon says, "Can I borrow it?" And when he took it to the bank, they exclaimed, "We've been wondering as to whom the old gentleman left his money." You see, in effect, she was a wealthy woman, and yet living like a beggar in the almshouse, a pauper. A mirror image of so many today. People who know God, who claim him as their Lord and Savior, and yet living as spiritual beggars because they never claim the blessing. Well, let me tell you three or four things. The blessing is enriching, so enriching, because the Lord will bless you. It is intimate. It is personal. It is the Lord blessing you, the mighty God, the creator of this vast universe, the one whose amazing love, grace, and power is demonstrated in so many varying and remarkable ways and on so many different occasions. He stands to one side. And on that side, whether you are young or old, rich or poor, wise or simple, just you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever the situation you are facing, and says, "The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. You in this side, you in the gallery, you here, you here." Paul says this, "Praise be to God who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1:3. Now pause and think about that. We put it in a song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When God says he will bless you, do you know what that means? Pardon and forgiveness for our sins. A peace that has an inexplicable serenity about it. Because Jesus said, my peace I give to you. An amazing love. Because as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. John 15:9. And it doesn't stop there. What about this? I told you this so that my joy might be in you. John 15:11. That you are accepted. That you are forgiven. It means you have an inheritance. Peter says that can never be lost. You have a hope, says Hebrews 8, that will never be disappointed. And at the end of the journey, when we come to the closing moment of our last breath, it will be heaven itself. And while you're trying to grasp all those comments, let me tell you this. Don't forget the measure of wealth that you have. You've paid your bills. You bought your groceries. Those of you are in employment, you have work to do. We have homes, we have families to enjoy. We have loved ones to care for, and they in turn care about us. We have friends to share life with. We have the family of God to which we belong. We have a place like this where we can meet week in and week out without fear, without question. And all these come our way, not only in the good times, but also in the bad, in prosperity and in adversity. They're there for all time, for every month, every week, every day, every hour, because the Lord will bless you. And why will God go on blessing you and I just like this, day in and day out? Well, the answer is very simple. His intention is disclosed in this statement. He wants to conform us to the image of his Son. God wants to bless you so he can make us like Jesus. That's why you need the blessing. So the blessing is so personal, so enriching. But it's so enabling. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. See how it works, whatever the circumstances. Whether it be a difficult family situation, whether it's joblessness, whether it's that deep sense of loneliness that comes to us as we age and lose our family and friends, whether it's the disruption of life through the violence and the strife and the economic issues and the political maneuvering and the conflicts within our world, which we cannot avoid or escape. We can't miss Brexit. Whatever it is the politicians are fighting about, the Lord will keep you. Remember the song, does the cross seem heavy? You are called to bear. Count your blessings. Every doubt will fly. Why? Because he's a wonderful keeper. We can't keep ourselves. But every moment of every day, Peter reminds us, we are kept. 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept. You and I, we are kept by the power of God. That great high priestly prayer that's prayed in John 17, Jesus tells the Father, he says, I have kept them safe. Jude reminds us, he has a benediction at the end of the letter that he writes, that he will keep you from falling. So no matter where the journey of life takes you, you will be kept safe until the journey ends. There will be the unexpected, which will upset your routines and in the process perhaps knock you down, knock you over, knock you off balance. But he will be there to keep you. Augustus Toplady was caught in a sudden storm, and he spotted an opening, a cleft in the rock formation. He shouted there till the storm was over, and with no paper, just a card he picked up from the floor, he began to write the words, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. What is an expert? Let me what? Hide. Let me hide myself in thee. So when the struggles come, and when life batters you like a storm, grasp this, he is your keeper, your rock. So go get the blessing. Don't stand in the storms of life on your own. But the blessing is an illuminating thing. Make his face shine upon you. Literally the light of his countenance upon you. And you have to get the idea, just as the sun shines on the earth, and appreciate what a difference it makes. We have to appreciate there are two ideas behind the phrase. There's the idea of the father smiling as he looks at his child, or of friends who've just met up and they smile at one another. Sharing one another's company makes them happy, so they smile. And God is smiling on us. Yes, he hates our sin, but because he loves us so intensely, he smiles as he looks at us. Jeremiah said it like this, Jeremiah 33, I have loved you with an everlasting love, drawn you with loving kindness. Words that impacted so much in my own personal life, the night of Tim's road accident, when we were watching by the dead's bedside as to would he survive, and then those 45 days in the intensive care, fighting for survival on the life support machine. Oh, you smile on us, Lord. You smile on us. Make your face shine on us. The thing I want more than anything, and I hope you want the same, is God's smile and God's favor. More than anything else in this world. But then as the sun shines, it reflects. And there's an incident where Moses spends time with God. And when Aaron and the others see him, his face was radiant. It was shining. What was it that the disciples asked about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? What did they notice? His face shone. And when Stephen was seized angrily and hustled before the Sanhedrin, and those false accusations were made one after the other, then you read this. It's in Acts chapter 6 and verse 15. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. It shone. Can I suggest that we have to allow the blessing to permeate our life? Then that old Sunday school song takes on a whole new dimension. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning. You in your small corner and I in mine. Can I do an answer to a trivia question? America spends over $7 billion a year on cosmetics alone to make themselves look and feel good. $7 billion a year is the cosmetic industry. One of the great congregational missionaries we had was Adoniram Judson, who went to Burma. And the living Lord Jesus was so radiant in Judson's life that men called him Mr. Gloryface. So it's time to ask a very serious question. Do our faces reflect that God is smiling and shining on us, being blessed so we can become a blessing? And then the fourth thing, the blessing is so loving. Be gracious to you. I grew up through college and university having to deal with Wheeler Robinson, the Old Testament scholar, not the greatest of guys. But he tells of a day visiting in a cathedral there in Paris, and a man is sitting in the pews in front of him, listening intently to the choir singing, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. And the man starts to shout, oh God, what a dream. If only he could. And Wheeler Robinson says he ran out before we could tell him. The man ran out into the street. If only he waited for someone to tell him that Jesus Christ not only can but will take away the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. And what he did at Calvary was grace in action, unmerited, undeserving, God dealing with us, gracious to you. If you ever take time to look at remembrance picture of the crucifixion, you'll see the people who are the onlookers. And then you notice how the artist has painted himself into the crucifixion scene. Because we have to be there, you and I, at the foot of the cross. We have to realize that Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. So amazing is God's grace. And sometimes we are filled with such unkind thoughts, and we speak such unkind words, and we give such unkind looks, and we do such unkind actions. How we need to say, Lord, be gracious to us. And then don't ever, ever, ever forget that the invitation is for us to find our way to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 6. Tony Campolo was here in Southend a couple of years ago. He grew up a great sociologist and preacher. I think he came to the Plaza. He grew up in a the only way you could describe it was a congested, bustling city. And he tells the story of how his mother arranged for a teenage girl to walk him home from school for a nickel a day. And he protested. He persuaded his mother to allow him to walk to and fro from school for a nickel a week. And he would be careful how he crossed the streets. He would not talk to strangers. He would not get distracted. And when he was at a family party, he was bragging how he took care of himself as a boy. And his mom was there, and his mother left. I said, did you really think you were on your own? Every morning, I left with you. I walked all the way to your school. And in the afternoon, I was there. You didn't see me. But I wanted to be there just in case you needed me. But you know, God's like that. He's not far away from you, just waiting to be gracious to you. So he can lift up his countenance, turn his face towards you, and give you his peace. Oh, that's so encouraging. For that's the crowning moment of the blessing. As peace floods into our hearts and minds, it shades of what Isaiah 26 is talking about. We turn it into a hymn. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Why? How? Finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. All I know is to say that a peace of heart and mind that defies description. It does defy description. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in a dreadful state. I wonder if this is the final moments. But I had an incredible peace, far above my understanding, far above anything that I could enumerate to you, explain to you. It was absolutely an incredible peace. And here it is. Turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Young boy, because of a family tragedy, had lost his mom, unable to rest or sleep, he goes to his father's bedroom and asks, can I sleep with you, Dad, please? Yes was the answer, but that wasn't enough. there came one more request. Daddy, turn your face toward me. Turn your face toward me. Would you say that this morning? To your Heavenly Father, turn your face toward me. Give me your blessing. Give me your blessing. You sent Jesus to bless me. This morning, give me your blessing so when I go out and when I come in, when I'm in the city or when I'm at home, when I'm working, whatever I'm doing, I will know the blessing that you put upon my life. Say to him, Father, turn your face towards me and bless me this morning. Right where you sit. Don't wait for me to do anything else. Just say it to yourself. Father, turn your face towards me and bless me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. You are his children, washed in the precious blood of Christ. Your sin is forgiven. Your hope is steadfast and sure and reserved in heaven for you. You are a blessed people, and you will be blessed not just in your coming in, but now in your going out. Receive this blessing in Jesus' name.